Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs,
Chefs. Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Yes, yes, yes. It's your boy back at the helm, Sports City Chefs. Calling number 929-477-2759, man. This is the season finale of the NFL front office show, man. We had a lot of laughs, we had ourselves a good time on here, but, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't go out with a bang. We are sitting here on the precipice of the NFL draft. So that's what we're going to do tonight. But before we get cracking, I did want to say that this show is being brought to you by the good folks at PHI Apparel. PHI Apparel gives you the greatest Philadelphia sports paraphernalia. And listeners of this very show get a percentage off by using the code CHEFS at checkout, man. They got everything from your James Harden shirts to your Joel Embiid stuff. And it's a great time, man. So definitely check out Chefs and check out and see what we got, man. But you guys understand and know I do this by myself, man. I got the guy who's been rocking with me ever since I picked up the mic, man, and started hosting these things, man. Barry the Villain. Jordan, what's going on, my guy? How we doing this evening?
Villain, what's going on, sis? Trying to get organized here. I was trying to find that. I think I found a good sound bite for you. We'll have to test it out. But on draft eve, a couple of days before the NFL draft, got some fun times. Make sure you get the PHI Apparel. Get that Ben Simmons shirt. I'm pretty sure there's like 8 million colors, like Joseph and the Technicolor Dream Coat kind of thing. If you get a shirt from him, it might be in clearance, but, you know, you never know. What's going on?
Dude? Definitely, man. I will say this. I know this is a football show, but I'm kind of with the masses, man. I'm kind of low-key hoping that the Toronto Raptors get that dub and win that game 6 as the fourth. This whole Philadelphia situation into a game 7, man. I really want the drama to unfold, but we'll talk about that tomorrow, man. Before we even crack the top on this mock draft, we got another chef in the building. Y'all know him as Mr. Controversy. I know him as Greenwood. What's going on, my guy? How we doing this evening?
How dare you disrespect the great city of Philadelphia that way? How dare you?
I'm a Giants fan, Greenwood. Give me a break.
I am doing great, guys. It is almost Christmas Eve here in Draft Nation, so I'm really excited. This is a very different draft than it was last year. Last year was all about the glitz and glamour of the quarterback position. This year, all the other positions are kind of pushing themselves to the forefront, so that makes things a lot less predictable. And that, from my perspective, is really the most exciting part, is for the first time in a long time, you don't know anything. So I'm ready for this.
Yeah, it's gonna be very, very interesting to see how this unfolds. And without further ado, I'm gonna go ahead and light the torch on the 2022 Sports City Chefs draft. Is open, and the Jacksonville Jaguars are on the clock, and they can go in plethora of different ways, gentlemen, but, you know, for me, when it came down to it, I only really think that one man gets the call here, and I think that the NFL commissioner is going to the podium. Let's get the sound. And with the first pick of the 2022 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan, the senior from Michigan, man. I think, honestly, for them, they could have went a multiple different ways. They could have went with the guy from NC State, Ike Ekwonu, Sauce Gardner from Cincinnati is a guy who is probably going to get a lot of buzz there. But I think, honestly, Aiden Hutchinson fits the bill. Greenwood, you know, what is your, you know, what do you think about, you know, Hutchinson number one, 1-2, the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Aiden Hutchinson is the odds-on favorite to be the number one overall pick. He is the safest by far of the defensive end prospects. At least that is the general consensus. He basically eats, drinks, breathes football. A lot of talk of Trevon Walker, the defensive end from the Georgia Bulldogs, is also in consideration here, more of the athletic freak type, but Aiden Hutchinson would be, in my opinion, the best first overall pick.
Yeah, I just for me, I just really want it safe and smart, which is why if I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars sitting there at 1-1, there really isn't a standout number one guy. Villain, Hutchinson just went 1-1 to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Would you pull the trigger on that, and, you know, would you put Mayo in a different direction?
Yeah, I would actually go a different direction. It's funny because there isn't a clear number one pick. I think it goes by team and need. So I think Hutchinson he's not a number one pick. I think we've said it before in the context of he's not like the clear-cut number one player. I think by need, he is a guy that is really at the top of a lot of people's drafts. And, you know, I wasn't overly impressed with him in bowl season, but I think during the regular season, he did play very well. You know, he's 6'6", 265 pounds, 14 sacks last year. I mean, you don't necessarily go wrong with this pick. It's not a pick I would have taken, but I think the Jaguars can go either way. I have a different guy at number one, to be honest with you.
Okay, cool. Well, say that because we're going to move on to pick number two, and with that, the Detroit Lions are on the clock. Greenwood, the floor is yours, sir.
So, you can really tell a lot about what the teams are thinking based off of what they did in the offseason. They've already kind of done a Band-Aid move at the wide receiver position, DJ Chark, one-year deal. They've also did some Band-Aid moves at the linebacker position. What they haven't touched as far as their needs is quarterback, defensive lineman, corner, and safety. So those are the positions that I'm going to be looking at first. Right now, the value is still at the defensive end position, but I would not completely rule out a Sauce Gardner here, but that kind of bit them in the rear end last time they were up this high with the Jeffrey Okuda pick. So I think that fans, at the very least, are not particularly interested in that. But Derek Stingley could also be an option there as well. But I think I'm going to go with Trevon Walker, the defensive end from Georgia. This is – oh, sorry. So Trevon Walker is the pick here for me. This is not a organization that's looking to win now. They're looking to develop into something in the future. So the athletic tools, a 9.9 in the RAS scale definitely fits the bill. They'll develop him into a better defensive end over time.
Okay, so Trevon Walker went number two overall to the Detroit Lions. I'm not mad at the pick, honestly. I do think that they need a significant upgrade to their defense there. I think, you know, the Detroit Lions, I wouldn't have went there with that pick, but again, for me, I would really want to address the area of need for them, you know, and maybe, you know, you make a big splash at a quarterback, but getting Trevon Walker, who is arguably one of the best edge guys in this upcoming draft, is not a bad pick. Villain, the Detroit Lions just picked up Trevon Walker from Georgia with the number two pick overall. How do you feel about that?
I had these picks flip-flopped, serious. So I felt that Trevon Walker was going to be the number one pick to the Jaguars just because he's a combo edge, but really a D-tackle. Had a really good combine. I think some of his weaknesses, I think they can work with it. He has really good burst off the line, right? But he's a bold rusher. He doesn't have a lot of moves. That's why I don't see him on the edge in the pros. I think he'll be inside a little bit more, maybe in a three technique, definitely not in a four technique. So I'd like him to go to the Jaguars instead of the Lions, and I had the Lions picking up Hutchinson. But I feel like these two guys, maybe a tackle, are the guys at the top of the draft. But I'm not mad at this pick either.
Okay, not a problem at all. Well, Villain, the Houston Texans are on the clock at number three. Put on your GM hat and give them a pick, my guy.
Yeah, so I think with this pick, the Texans need a lot of help at a lot of different positions, but I think this is kind of a stretch for me a little bit. I'm going with Ahmad Gardner, the cornerback out of the cornerback out of Cincinnati, clearly the best secondary player in this draft. I think he checks off a lot of boxes. Some people see him slipping going to one of the New York teams. I think he does go high. I think the Texans take a chance on him. He's physical. He can play downhill. He can make tackles. So he's one of those corners that kind of reminds you of athletic Ramsey. So I like this pick. I think the Texans, they need a lot of help, like I said. So I think best player available, I would take Gardner. He's a sure thing.
You know what? That's exactly where I had him slotted to, going third overall to the Houston Texans, I think. You know, with this team here, any selection will be a tremendous upgrade to a position
right.
of need on their roster. So you could have said anything, and I would have been on board with it. Greenwood, Sauce Gardner just went third overall to the Houston Texans. Barry started it off by saying it's a little bit of a stretch, but I think it's literally a home run pick. What's your position on Sauce Gardner in Houston right here?
Yeah, I know that earlier on in the offseason process, a lot of people were putting offensive tackle into that mix, but after they franchised their current left tackle, I don't think that's really in the cards for them. So, really, they've got to look somewhere else. And honestly, I could think of a lot worse picks. I could also see Ike Kwanu going in there and moving him into guard, but that's a very steep price to pay for a guard, especially with the depth at the offensive tackle position. Meanwhile, corner is actually a really shallow position in this year's draft. After you get past the top three, it's really hard to really pick one out of the crowd. So if Houston's going to go after a corner in this draft, Amon Gardner at three seems like the right choice.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And with that, we are up to pick number four with the New York Jets. And since Dave has not graced us with his presence, I need to go find a kicker for him. Let me stop. But honestly, for me, gentlemen, honestly, for me, the biggest area of need for the New York Jets is offensive and defensive line. I do believe that this draft is loaded with both, and I'm not going to waste anybody else's time. The pick is in, and with the fourth pick in the 2022 NFL draft, the New York Football Jets select Evan Neal, offensive guard from the University of Alabama. I think that is going to be a tremendous pickup for the New York Jets. I do believe that he provides them a significant attitude on the offensive line. He is a solid edge blocker that will definitely help Wilson push the ball down the field. It will hopefully open up holes for the running back to maneuver. You really have to protect your investment. And so getting Neal, the offensive guard, actually offensive tackle from Alabama, is going to be huge. Dylan, I'm going to double back to you. Neal just went 4 overall to the Jets. Case could be made. The Giants may be looking at him, but, you know, the Jets took him before. The Giants pick at 5. Kind of give me your opinion on that move.
I love Neal, and I think this is exactly where I had Neal going to New York. Now, this is with in mind that the Jets, or nobody in the draft, moves, right? Nobody trades down, trades up, trades picks, because I think this pick could be on the move to San Francisco, and we all know why. If the Jets keep this pick, I think Neal is the guy. I love his size. I love how he moves with the weight. This is a big guy, but I didn't see 6'7", 337 pounds, a guy that doesn't carry himself, that can't move. He gets downfield. He's an All-American, only allowed 2 sacks in 15 starts. This is the guy at this pick. I love this pick for the Jets.
Greenwood, you know, Neal just went 4th overall to the New York Jets. Arguably one of the greatest offensive linemen in this draft, and you know, he's going to protect Zach Wilson and, you know, team up out there in New York playing with the Jets. Now, what's your position on it?
So, honestly, I think they go edge rusher here. I think that Kayvon Thibodeau could be the pick here at 4, mm-hmm. and then they go at a go for an offensive lineman later on at pick 10. They did just sign Laken Tomlinson for the guard position. Their tackles weren't the worst thing that they had on the roster, so I could easily see them going edge rusher, especially with Ahmad Gardner off the board. If he's still there available at 4, I could easily see that being the pick, but that was not in the cards. So, and a real dark horse selection would be at wide receiver, like maybe a Jameson Williams, but that seems to be a little too high for him at four. So, but I can't really knock the pick overall.
You know, the fun thing about it is, like, we're four picks in, you know, and, you know, we haven't had a wide receiver come off the board. You know, Ikem Ekwonu is still available, the outstanding offensive tackle from NC State. You know, so as we press on, you know, Barry got pick five coming up with the New York Football Giants, and I kind of have an idea where he's wanting to go. But I'm interested to see, as we sit down and watch this on Thursday on the fold, you know, which one of these wide receivers in these skill position comes off the board first. If I had to bet, you know, kind of a sidebar, I think it may end up being Chris Olave. From Ohio State, being the first one to come off the board. But we'll get to that as the day progresses. Villain, your fifth with the New York Football Giants. Talk to me, man. Go ahead and make your pick.
Yeah, I think these receivers, there's a deep class. I have a different receiver coming off the board. I'll get to that in a minute. But number five, the New York Giants. Play my music, please. Thank you. With the fifth pick in the NFL draft, the New York Football Giants select Ikem Ekwonu, offensive tackle. I honestly think there's a lot of ways the Giants can go, defensive line first. But I think if the two tackles are here, which I doubt both of them are, I think one or the other, they have to go this route. I like Cross, but Ikem Ekwonu checks off a lot of boxes. You slide him in on the other side, you have two really good tackles to protect Daniel Jones and future pieces. So this is the guy, Ikem Ekwonu, big offensive tackle. I mean, a lot of people had him going one. I have him sliding all the way back, but the NC State product will be a New York Giant, in my opinion.
You know what? I actually, as much as I love to drag you about the New York Football Giants, this is a great pick. I think honestly, either Icky or Neil are going to be sitting there at five for you. Also, the sophomore guy Cross. I think any one of those three are going to be sitting smack dab in front of you at pick five. That's pending. You know, nobody moving up or the Giants moving back or, you know, anything like that. And if you don't go offensive line with this fifth pick, I honestly think there's something going on. So the fact that Ekwonu fell in the Sports City Chefs draft to five, you don't waste no time jumping on that, which was a brilliant move. Greenwood. Ikem Ekwonu just fell to five with the New York Football Giants. And that's kind of where you had him spotted. Did you have somebody else going there at five?
So I think Ikem Ekwonu is probably going to be the pick if he's still available at five. I've heard that the New York Giants really like him as a player. I mean, if it were me drafting, Evan Neal already came off the board. They're picking again at seven. So I don't think with that being the case that it really matters which order they go into. So I think Ikem Ekwonu is perfectly fine as a pick here at five.
And that's why I went with the tackle, Greenwood. I agree with you. I think you can go either way. I think because it's like almost having a back-to-back pick because I feel Carolina's pretty locked.
I agree.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that the one thing that Ekwonu Oltu does is he is probably the best run blocker of the tackles in this draft, so that
Absolutely.
Will open up things for Saquon as well.
Absolutely.
That's pending that the Giants keep Saquon. I'm hearing buzz that he's being shopped again, but that's another contest another day. The Carolina Panthers are up with the sixth pick, and Greenwood, talk to me about the Carolina Panthers. Where do you see them going in the 2022 NFL Draft?
So, honestly, if there was ever a team that I was going to pick to trade down in this situation, it would be the Carolina Panthers. The Carolina Panthers have one pick at pick six and don't pick again until round four. So, with a team that is this bad and this few picks is a recipe for disaster. So now the biggest question here is with no picks until round four, they don't really have an option at quarterback unless it's here at pick six. Unless, of course, they trade down, which is another reason why I expect them to do so, because I don't see a team really hungry for a quarterback until the Seahawks at pick nine and the Falcons at pick eight, but there's plenty of options that are just as good. But, you know, this is a dumb organization that decided to cut the best quarterback of all time, so they're going to just make a mistake again, of course. So they're going to go with Malik Willis, a quarterback from Liberty.
All right, so Malik Willis, huh? Okay, I kind of like it. So Malik Willis comes off the board there at six. Villain, talk to me, man. Kind of high for these quarterbacks to come off, but based off of, you know, Greenwood's logic, it makes sense. Talk to me.
I have a quarterback here. I don't have Willis. I have Kenny Pickett. I think the Sam Darnold experiment is over. There's no reason to keep beating that with the 10-foot pole. I think it's over. I see them going quarterback. I think everybody had, you know, their little trepidation about Pickett with his hand size and all that. But the kid set records, you know, he broke a lot of Dan Marino's records that stood for years, as long as we've been alive almost. There's no doubt he's a leader. He can throw it. He's got experience. I think the best quarterback in this draft is honestly Baker Mayfield. If the Panthers do draft a quarterback, this is the guy they're going to pick.
That's as big of an indictment on this quarterback class as humanly possible.
Wow.
But really,
to say it in a nice way.
it would be hilarious if they got rid of Teddy Bridgewater and got Teddy Bridgewater light and Kenny Pickett. I just think that'd be pretty funny.
Okay. All right. So with the seventh pick, we go back to the Big Apple and the New York Football Giants. Villain, talk to me, man. What are you guys doing at seven?
Hit the music, please. Thank you. With the seven.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I feel like I need to either make that my ringtone or play that while I'm making sweet love to my wife. It's just that sound. I love you, guys. Number seven, I got the Giants picking Kayvon Thibodeau. I know there's a lot
Kayvon,
of questions
okay.
that I heard that the Giants aren't in love with him. I heard that they, you know, not character issues, but like his kind of motor, like does he really want to be there and want to do it? And I, you know, he said they asked a lot of tough questions, but I think at the end of the day, this is a talent that you can't pass up. It checks boxes for them. I was flirting with the idea of the Giants passing on Thibodeau and taking Johnson from Florida State, but at the end of the day, I'm taking Thibodeau.
Okay, all right. I don't hate the pick, honestly. Kayvon is a guy who comes off the edge. You know, he's a guy who can definitely step in day one and fill a void. His biggest issue, obviously, was his off-the-field stuff and how he fared in the interview process. But honestly, I tend not to read too much stock into that, especially if you show up on Sundays and are able to do your job at a high level. And I think that once he gets to the Big Apple, should he land there and puts his helmet on and goes to work, I think he'll be a choir boy, if you will. Greenwood, Thibodeau came off the board to 7 to the New York Giants. A guy who could have went easily in the top 10. I've seen lots of them going in the top 10, but he fell to 7. Give me your position on that move there.
So, yeah, there's 4 really, really good defensive ends in this draft. Thibodeau's one, Trevon Walker's one, Aiden Hutchinson's one, and then Jermaine Johnson from Florida State is another one. And that's just, you know, top end elite measurable talents at the position. So if, let's say, Kayvon Thibodeau, I could even see Thibodeau going as high as 2 to Detroit. So getting him at 7 is a very good value for them and for the Giants at this point. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, the Atlanta Falcons are on the clock, and I'm not going to waste too much time talking about the Atlanta Falcons. This is a team that has made a change at the guard for the quarterback position. And for me, the pick is simple. So with the 2022 NFL draft at pick number 8, the Atlanta Falcons select Kenny Pickett, quarterback, University of Pittsburgh. I think, honestly, I think Marcus Mariota is an experiment that they're going to trot out there and play for a half of the season, and then it's going to be a matter of time before Pickett gives way. To me, again, I think any quarterback picked inside the top 10 is significantly a stretch, but this is the Atlanta Falcons team that they went out last year and brought in Kenny Pitt. They brought in Pitts. You know, you can do a little bit of different things, you know, in the draft. I think, if I remember correctly, they have some significant picks in rounds 2 through 4 to address some significant needs. And so I think they strike now and get the Matt Ryan heir apparent. We don't know what's going on. Russell Gage left the free agency. You lose Calvin Ridley. Case could be made that this is one of the spots where one of these receivers come off the board. I've seen mocks that have, you know, Garrett Wilson from Ohio State going there. I've seen mocks that have Chris Olave also from Ohio State going there. Any of the Alabama receivers, whether it's Meshi or Jamison Williams, going there. So we'll see what pops off. But we've had another quarterback come off the board. Villain, talk to me about Kenny Pickett to Atlanta.
I'm not going there with you. I see the Falcons possibly making that pick, but not at 8. I think a quarterback might be in their future in later in the draft. I think a quarterback can be had. Honestly, I'm going to be totally honest with you. I think they make a move for Baker. I really do. And I think you can't do much worse, Mariota or Baker, to have a stopgap if you're going to do a stopgap kind of thing. For me, I had at going to the Falcons at number 8, I have the first receiver going off the board in Garrett Wilson. I love this kid. I honestly think he's better than Olave, and it's close, but I think he checks off a lot of boxes. It's his route running that really I'm in love with, right? He's creative.
He's got speed. But he can break tackles, and he runs really good routes. So, and I think couple that with the fact that they're not going to have Ridley this year, I think they go receiver. I think they go with Garrett Wilson.
You know, case could be made. You know, as I said, I definitely wouldn't be shocked if any of those scenarios you just laid out ended up playing. Whether they make a move for Baker Mayfield from Cleveland, but then you have to ask the question, what compensation is it going to take to get Baker Mayfield from the Cleveland Browns? I definitely can see them going after a receiver, obviously, with Calvin Ridley being suspended, Russell Gage leaving. I can see a running back or something like that coming off the board, although there's really not too many backs, projected to come out in the first round, but stranger things have happened. Greenwood, Kenny Pickett just went to the Atlanta Falcons at 8. What's your position on that one?
I think Sirius just picked him at 8 so that he couldn't fall to Pittsburgh and get picked there. I'm also not a buyer of Kenny Pickett at pick 8 either. This is not a good enough draft class at the quarterback position for 2 to go in the top 10. I would be surprised, honestly, if 2 went in the entirety of the first round. I personally have a wide receiver here as well. I could also see if in this position a Charles Cross coming off the board. Because he's easily the best tackle available. There is some value to be had there in the back, in the top of round 2 at both those positions. I could easily see a guy like, Bernard Reinman, from Central Michigan falling to round 2 at the tackle position. And at wide receiver, you've got guys like Sky Moore and George Pickens who will be available, or even Treylon Burks. All those guys are going to be available options for them at the top of round 2. Not all of them at that pick, but one of them is going to definitely fall that far. But personally, I would have put Charles Cross here, or even maybe even Derek Stingley, just because of the problems that you face in round 2 at the cornerback position. Derek Stingley is still available at pick number 8. So that's actually, in this situation, I probably would have went there, honestly enough, because this is a Atlanta Falcons team that is rebuilding and is not going to be in a position at a number 1 quarterback next year, which promises to be a much better quarterback class.
Okay. All right. I mean, I don't hate the pick. I don't hate it. With that being said, we are up to pick number 9 with the Seattle Seahawks. The trade that they acquired from Denver for getting Russell Wilson, I believe. So with the Seattle Seahawks, Dylan, talk to me about what Pete Carroll is going to do with Seattle.
I struggled with this pick a little bit. I wasn't sure which way to go. I flip-flopped, but I think at the end of the day, I think this is where Jermaine Johnson, the edge rusher from Florida State, goes. I love his upside. I think he has a little bit of Thank you. I think he has a little bit to work on. As far as his moves, he rushes a little too high. If offensive tackle gets hands on him, he has a hard time really kind of getting off. He stalls out a little bit. I've watched him at Florida State because I'm a Florida State fan. But I think he has such upside. I think he doesn't fall too – if he falls out of the top 10, he doesn't fall too far out. This is where I kind of have him slotted. It was between him or Jordan Davis. I like
I like both of them, but I'm going to take a risk on Jonathan.
Okay. I mean, Jonathan Johnson is a guy who, Jermaine Johnson, is a guy who I actually had a little deeper in draft. I had him going 13 potentially to the Houston Texans again. However, the fact that he went a couple picks early to Seattle at 9, it doesn't make that big of a difference for me. I honestly think that he's going to be a tremendous pickup there in Seattle while Pete Carroll and the company tries to rebuild. Greenwood, talk to me about Jermaine Johnson going to Seattle. Let me know what you think about that.
The same two guys I was talking about for the Atlanta Falcons are also options for the Seattle Seahawks, Derek Stingley and Charles Cross. In my opinion, the two best players available. I don't hate the Jermaine Johnson pick because, like I said, there are four as far as the measurables are concerned. There's four defensive ends that are extremely high level in those regards, and Jermaine Johnson is the last one. So, and it also happens to be a major position of need for the Seattle Seahawks, and with no acceptable quarterback available, they're going to look to build in other ways. I just based off of their off-season moves, they haven't done anything at the offensive tackle position yet either, and Dwayne Brown turns 37 soon, so having that as your blindside protector for your future future quarterback is kind of scary. So I personally would have went Charles Cross here, but they may be waiting for that for another year. Who knows?
Okay. All right. All right. And rounding out the top 10 are the New York Jets. I think for me, the New York Jets are a interesting bunch, interesting bag, if you will. But I think with the first round, the first pick of them picking up a Neal, I think they stay on the offensive side of the ball and go get some toys for Zach Wilson to play with. And so with the 10th pick and the 2022 NFL Draft. There it is. The New York Football Jets select Jameson Williams, wide receiver from Alabama. I think you pairing him with Elijah Moore, Zach Wilson, and then you got Neal. Also, I believe, from Alabama, I think Robert Saleh is really getting himself a tremendous guy. He can definitely just go get the dang on ball. And I'm very curious to see how he meshes in New York and plays alongside with that team. We just had our second receiver come off the board, and Jameson Williams. Villain, talk to me about Williams to the Big Apple with the New York Football Jets.
I absolutely love this pick. This is exactly where I had him going. I think the only problem is the torn ACL. If he doesn't have a torn ACL, the Jets don't steal him at 10. He goes to the Texans at 3, in my opinion. This kid checks off a lot of boxes. Fast. He's springy. He can run jet sweeps and screen games. He's a home run hitter. He's arguably the best receiver in a really deep receiver draft. The only thing I think outside of the injury that you kind of look at when I've seen his games and they've called it out is that he doesn't catch with his hands a lot. He's a body catcher, so you can definitely see balls bouncing off his chest. But I mean, you got to catch him first. This kid is ridiculous. I love this pick, serious. He is going to be a Jet. I think they steal him at 10.
Greenwood, talk to me, man. Jameson Williams just went 10th overall to the New York Jets. It looks like they're building themselves a little something, like kind of like an Alabama reunion, if you will, out there in New York. But talk to me, man, about the New York Football Jets and picking up Jameson Williams.
I really like the pick. They got Evan Neal at 4. They're trying to revamp the offense that has been putrid for years. I really like Jameson Williams as a prospect. I think that it's very possible he's the best wide receiver in this draft. Only other option for me would be Derek Stingley at cornerback, which would also be a steal at 10. I think he ends up going really could be 7 to the Giants, could be 8 to the Falcons. I'm really kind of surprised he's still sitting on the board, but at the end of the day, that's a perfectly fine pick, and I would not be surprised at all if I saw that on draft day.
All right. Before we move on to pick number 11, let me go ahead and recap what the first 10 picks look like. We got Hutchinson going number 1 to the Jaguars, Walker going number 2 to the Lions, Gardner number 3, to the Houston Texans, Neal going to the New York Football Jets at 4, Icky going number 5 to the Giants. We got the first quarterback off the board, Willis going number 6 to the Panthers. Kayvon comes to the Giants by pick of Mr. Villain. Kenny Pickett comes off the board next to the Atlanta Falcons. Johnson, the second, comes off the board to Seattle. And then Jameson Williams rounds up the top 10 with the New York Football Jets. So before we press on, let's go ahead and pay some bills real quick. Again, this show is being brought to you by the good folks at PHI Apparel. Let's pay some bills real quick.
This portion of our program is brought to you by PHI Apparel Company. PHI Apparel Company provides unique designs and high-quality clothing for the great fans of the Philadelphia area. With their original designs for all, there's no doubt that they'll stand out in the crowd. Act now and listeners can use the promo code CHEFS for 15% off any apparel when you shop online at phiapparel.co. That's phiapparel.co. Remember to use the promo code CHEFS for 15% off. Act now while supplies last.
Special thanks to PHI Apparel for sponsoring this show and many other shows here on the network. We're going to dive right into the second half a little bit of this NFL draft with the number 11 pick being the Washington Commanders. And being as I live here in the Metro D.C. area, that's only right that I take this pick, man. Honestly, for me, there's been a lot of talk out here about where Washington is going to go. Is it, they're going to pick up another receiver to go alongside Terry McLaurin, or are they going to really – look at somebody to bolster their defense. And I think, honestly, talk about a steal in the draft. I think with the 11th pick, the Washington Commanders select, let me play the music real quick. There it is. Yeah, with the 11th pick, the Washington Commanders select safety Kyle Hamilton from the University of Notre Dame. I think... the fact that he is falling down draft boards really bodes well for the Washington Commanders. I think that this guy is a playmaker who can play inside the box, who can play in space, you know, and coverage. And when you are playing in a division where you have mobility at the quarterback position, when you got Daniel Jones and Dak Prescott and Jalen Hurts and you know, you got to be able to tackle in space. You got to be able to cover receivers. When you talk about CeeDee Lamb and the different assortment of receivers that division has, you got to be able to do stuff on the back end. And I think Kyle Hamilton coming in here playing with Ron Rivera, playing in a defense that is coached by Jack Del Rio, is going to be very, very big for him. So, Villain, your division rival, Washington Commanders got themselves a stud and Kyle Hamilton there at 11. Talk to me about it.
I love this pick. I think this is the way to go because I think, you know, who did they have? They had our old safety at
They had Landon Collins.
The Giants old, yeah, Landon Collins, and he's just he's a good football player, but he's not a versatile safety. You need a guy that can do multiple things: tackle at the line of scrimmage, at like a linebacker, protect the deep middle. And then, you know, cover a tight end or a third receiver if possible. So Collins doesn't check that box. Kyle Hamilton does. If he slips in this draft, he's not going to go past the number 13, 14 pick. I think this is a good spot for him. I think the problem is that his pro day, he didn't have a good pro day. He ran a 4.5 at the combine, but then ran a 4.7 at his pro day. So I think that's why his stock is dropping. But he is a football player, and he's a good tackler. He wraps up really well. Watching him at Notre Dame, you know, you get some of those games on NBC and what have you. So he's a physical safety. I think his slow 40 times is what's scaring teams off and fighting off of blocks of receivers, those stack blocks. So I think he has to do a little bit better job of that, but I think that can be corrected. I think he's a good athlete. He's going to be a good fit for the Commanders, that trash bag of the team.
Greenwood, talk to me, man. Kyle Hamilton goes 11 off the board to the Washington Commanders. I live here. It's Kyle Hamilton is sitting there and they don't draft him. I may have to come search for me because I may be hiding out somewhere because this town is going to go crazy. We're talking about Kyle Hamilton, 11 to Washington.
I think it's a perfectly fine pick. Their secondary was putrid last year. I've also heard rumblings of a Garrett Wilson with Terry McLaurin potentially wanting a trade. I'm still going to beat the drum for Stingley as well, who would help at the corner position. I do believe that safety is a little bit deeper. There's definitely the kid from Penn State, as well as Lewis Cine from Georgia, who are potentially going to be available in that second round area. But Kyle Hamilton is widely considered one of the best prospects in the draft, so I can't hate on the pick.
Okay, Greenwood, the Minnesota Vikings are on the clock at 12. They can go in multiple different directions here, but go ahead and talk to me about what the Minnesota Vikings do here at 12.
So if the board falls this way, the Minnesota Vikings are going to run to – it's going to take him 5 seconds to make the pick, and the pick is in. Oh, there we go.
I got you.
With the 12th pick of the 2022 NFL draft, the Minnesota Vikings take Derek Stingley Jr., the cornerback out of LSU. It's value meets need. This is a team that was one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL. They've been trying the corpse of several different cornerbacks out there every single year, and they still get picked apart by Aaron Rodgers and even the Detroit Lions at times, which if you're getting picked apart by Jared Goff, then you do need help at the cornerback position. So at this point, it just makes good sense to take him. And if it wasn't for the injury, I'm sure I would be willing to expect him to have a battle with Ahmad Garner for the number one corner position. But injuries happen, and it's based off of potential that you saw from his junior year, but it's definitely worth the pick here.
I don't hate it. I really don't hate it. I've seen mocks of him coming off the board at early at seven to the Giants there, Villain went a different direction. Villain Stingley came off the board to the Minnesota Vikings at 12. Talk to me.
Yeah, that's where I have him going. I don't see him dipping past the Vikings. I think he might go a little earlier by chance, depending on if people trade up or trade out. But I think this is a good fit for him. I think Kyle Hamilton's a good fit for the Texans because they need help in the secondary. I think this is a good pick for the Vikings. I was thinking, I was flirting with McDuffie, but I think to Greenwood's point, I like Stingley here out of LSU. He's got the size, he's got speed, he's super athletic. You know, he's a really good man-to-man coverage guy. So I think this is where he goes. He's just got to stay healthy. 2 years of injuries, he's got to stay healthy. But I think this is a good pick.
Actually, I agree with you there. Villain, the Houston Texans, man, are back on the clock, man, at 13. I did the first one. Go ahead and knock out the second one for me.
Yeah, this one was a little shaky for me. Texans are very busy in this draft, right? I think they do have a need at. I think they do need a lot of help in the secondary. I thought that Kyle Hamilton, if he drops past the Commanders, he can go here. I still think they need safety help. I'm going Daxton Hill out of Michigan. Hit my music. He's just versatile, Sirius. He can play the corner or the safety. That's what you need out of the secondary, guys that can do a lot of different things in the nickel and in the dime. He checks those boxes. He's super athletic. He's got some good speed for a safety. He checks a lot of boxes so that if one of those corners are off the board and you needed a guy that's a Swiss Army knife that you really needed a corner, you don't get Stingley, you don't get Gardner, I think Hill checks a lot of those boxes. I'm taking him at this pick. If the Texans stay at this pick.
Okay. So you went with Hill out of Michigan. Again, I'm not mad at it. Greenwood, talk to me. Hill just went to the Houston Texans from the University of Michigan. You heard the explanation that GM Jordan gave. What say you, sir?
I think Daxton Hill is a bit of a reach here at 13. I think that it's entirely possible that he falls out of the first round entirely. I would even think of Trent McDuffie over him, to be mm-hmm. completely honest with you. The Houston Texans, I imagine, have to go best player available. With the pick at Ahmad Gardner at 3, they have some potential for a Garrett Wilson, maybe, because their mm-hmm. wide receivers aren't particularly good. Jordan Davis, I could see if they wanted to really bulk up the defensive line. There's a lot of, I mean, take your pick. But you know, sometimes that happens in real life too, in the draft. Sometimes major reaches happen and if there's a team that's going to take the WTF pick, I would not be surprised if it's the Texans.
Okay. All right. With that being said, the Baltimore Ravens are on the clock, and since it's my division, I'll take care of these bums, man. The Baltimore Ravens do two things very, very well. They run the football, and they're the number one ranked defense in stopping the run.
I don't foresee them trying to go get a wide receiver because it's outside of their nature, so I'm going to leave the wide receivers alone. And with that, the 2022 Baltimore Ravens select Jordan Davis. I think Jordan Davis from the University of Georgia comes off the board here. It just fits. You know, you bring back Calais Campbell on a one-year deal. He's kind of getting up in years. And you bring in the big space eater, you know, 6 foot six, 341-pound guy to just clog up space and make things very, very easy for your linebackers to scrape and run to the football. So it wouldn't shock me one bit if Jordan Davis comes off the board here to the Baltimore Ravens at 14. Greenwood, I'm going to double back to you, man. Jordan Davis came off the board to the Ravens at 14. Talk to me.
There's not been a man that athletic at that size in the NFL draft in a long, long time. This is a solid 10 on the RAS scale, which is for those who don't know the relative athletic score. When we're talking about all time athleticism at the nose tackle position, so it does not surprise me at all that they're going to go for that as their first round pick.
Villain, man, you know how much this pains me as a fellow fan to make this pick. I would have much rather gave them a punter or something like that. But honestly, Jordan Davis checks every box for me as an analyst. And if you look at how the Baltimore Ravens play defense and look at the division that they're in, you know, the fact that this dude is putting up wide receiver-like numbers at the combine on the 40, I think if Jordan Davis falls, I don't think Harbaugh and company waste any time. I think they run to the podium with the pick and personally go back there and shake his hand. I think Jordan Davis is the pick here.
If the Ravens don't pick a receiver and they pass on this kid, there's going to be smoke in the city. All right, Georgia has freaks at the defensive line, and he is one of them. He is a long-term starter. He is a classic, like, nose tackle for technique that gets his hands in the ground, but he's so quick and so – he's so athletic for his size. It's freaky. I think he's got to win some battles in the trenches. I saw him kind of get held up against Alabama linemen in the championship game. I think that's one of his problems. I think he's got to win with his quickness. And he's got to get a quick first out of that four technique. But if somebody can harness that, this is going to be a steal of the draft. And you saw I think the Ravens did get bludgeoned by the run a little bit this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had some trouble at the defensive line. So this is a good pick. It's a perfect fit for them. I agree with you.
Right. So we're going to press on because we got some fun teams coming up. And with the new Philadelphia Eagle fan in the building, Greenwood, talk to me about what the Eagles do right there at 15.
So the Philadelphia Eagles are a really interesting team. There are a bunch of ways they could go. I believe that, you know, Fletcher Cox is getting on the back foot of his career. Even though he was re-signed back in 2016 to a six-year contract, so so this would be, I believe, the last year of that contract. A replacement, Devonta Wyatt, is a possibility here, but what they really need is a wide receiver and a cornerback. And with the 15th pick in the 2022 NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select Trent McDuffie, cornerback out of Washington.
Interesting.
The reason why I'm doing that instead of the wide receiver at this point is because there are three wide receivers on the board that the Eagles would be happy with and only two picks available or only two picks in between them and their next pick at 18. So they could get Drake London, mm-hmm. Garrett Wilson, or Chris Olave with that 18th pick, and I'm sure they would be happy with any one of those.
Okay, so honestly, for me, McDuffie is a great pick. Actually, I did have a receiver coming off the board, and my personal mock, as you all know, my wife's an Eagles fan, and she didn't agree with me because she said literally this would be, I think, the third or fourth year in a row that the Eagles have selected a wide receiver in the first round. And they're still searching for that number
one guy. That's why you
got to
keep picking
them. Well, very much so. But, I mean, listen, I mean, whomever's selecting them is doing a horrible job. But, honestly, I think if Chris Olave comes off the board here, if you get a Garrett Wilson come off the board here, I would even reach for Messi. With the understanding that he's gonna sit, but that's how I would have played it. But you know, Villain, talk about your second favorite team in the world and the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, we just saw McDuffie come off the board here. Would that have been a move you made, or would you have gone somewhere different?
I see what Greenwood's saying. I don't disagree with him. I just feel McDuffie drops in the draft for no reason other than there's just a lot of talent in this draft and other needs at other positions. I think the Eagles go receiver. I think they go Drake London out of USC. I think he's the pick at number 15. But I do. I don't see McDuffie going at this level because of the way the Eagles picks kind of fall out. But I think there are receivers that are going to go off the board in this 15 to 20 range. And I think London's going to be that guy.
Okay. Not a problem at all. Well, Villain, we're going to roll the ball back to you, sir. The New Orleans Saints are on the clock at 16. You know, we tried to get, you know, Mr. Harvey in the building to pick for a squad, but, you know, he's doing other things. So why don't you go ahead and, you know, make the pick for him.
Yeah, the Saints have some needs at offensive tackle and receiver. I think they go receiver. I think they get Chris Olave from Ohio State. I mean, thank you. The guy's a stud. I think he's such a unique talent. I saw some mocks had him dropping all the way to the back end of the first round. I don't see it. I think he's a guy that he screams, you got to take him. And the Saints have a definite need. I think they take him at number 16.
Okay, so Olave comes off the board at 16. I love the pick there. And here's the thing. I won't be shocked if Olave, and I said this early, is the first receiver off the board just because his availability and the fact that he looks like a guy who can literally dodge raindrops. You know, he gets open, his route running is second to none. We all saw how quick he was at the combine and everything. So Chris Olave going 16 to the Saints is literally a steal for them. Greenwood, talk to me about Chris Olave, man. To the Saints, I kind of like it, man. I kind of like it.
I mean, wide receiver is a major need for them. And they've also got Michael Thomas, who has been disgruntled for years and has been rumored to be on the trade block along with every other wide receiver who wants a new contract. So Chris Olave definitely makes sense here, but I would, if I were a betting man, I would say that Chris Olave is not even the first Ohio State Buckeye wide receiver to be selected in the 2022 NFL draft. I think Garrett Wilson will be selected above Olave, in my opinion.
Okay.
I'm not mad at the pick there. So, the LA Chargers are on the clock. I'm gonna go ahead and take this one. And you know, you are playing in a very loaded division where you have, you know, Kansas City Chiefs. You got the Denver Broncos that are doing different things. So you really need defense, if you will. And honestly, if you are the Chargers, I think they reach here. I think they reach here and secure a defensive player. And with the LA Chargers on the clock in the 2022 NFL Draft, there's my music. I think the Chargers select Devin Lloyd, linebacker from the University of Utah. I think, here's the thing, I think you have to get to a place, if you're the LA Chargers, where defense is priority one. You go out and you make the big splashes and you get, you know, Jackson and you bring over Khalil Mack and you got Bosa. But you need more. You know the division that you're playing in. You know the road to the Super Bowl. You're gonna have to deal with Buffalo and what they have to deal with. And so you need more bodies that can attack and apply pressure on your quarterback. And I think Lloyd checks all the boxes. He's a speed guy. He's you know, he can get to the point. He can get to the ball. He attacks downhill. And he'd be a tremendous rotational piece. I think he'll also help him out on special teams a little bit. But, Dylan, talk to me about Devin Lloyd out of Utah, going a little higher than most people thought. I see mocks with him, you know, going as pick 27 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But I think with McDuffie being off the board, with, you know, the major corners being off the board, you really got to solidify that defensive front and that front seven, and I think Lloyd does that. Talk to me.
I like Lloyd, not at this pick. I had him going to the Eagles. You're right. He does do a good job shedding blocks, defensive player of the year for the Pac-12. I think he has to get better in pass coverage. I think it's a work in progress. He's getting better. I don't see it as a reach for the Chargers because I think this is right around where he goes. I had Cross dropping and the Chargers picking up Cross because there is pass rushers galore in this division. Like, every team has guys that can come after you, and they got to protect their investment, like Tony Montana said in Scarface. So they got to protect Justin Herbert. I think they go Cross or maybe even they go Trevor Penning if Cross goes earlier. But, I mean, I have him at offensive lineman. But I think Lloyd is a really good pick, and I think he does go around this time.
I like the Penning move. I like the Cross move. I like where your head's at with, you know, offensive line and protecting Justin Herbert and opening up holes for Eckler. I get it, but again, my position is listen, bro, you got to be able to stop some people in this league. You know, defense wins championships, and so. I really want to hit that. That's been the biggest bugaboo from the Chargers for forever. You know, they've had awesome offenses, but they haven't been able to stop anybody. And, you know, I think the coach, you know, had a taste of humble pie this year, and he's not going to roll the dice and go for it on fourth down and his own end and understand that, you know, your best team is playing, you know, together as a team. And I think a little bit as to the reason why he was doing that is because he didn't have as much faith in his defense as one would hope. So I definitely think they go defense here, you know, especially with the moves that they made already. Greenwood, talk to me. Lloyd goes to the Chargers. How do you feel about it?
I'm with the villain and thinking that Charles Cross would have been the pick here. I think that's the floor for Charles Cross as far as how far he dropped in reality.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hate the Devin Lloyd pick either, but I think that protecting your future star quarterback from this division is probably the best way to go. But once again, Devin Lloyd, I could easily see him going as high as 15 to the Eagles, and I think his absolute floor is probably somewhere in the 20s. So it's probably at the higher end for me as to where he goes, but I don't hate it at all.
All right. That's good. We're going to press on, man. Villain. I gave Greenwood the first Eagles pick, so I'm going to give the second one to you at pick 18. Talk to me about what your favorite division team does here at 18.
First of all, Eagles suck. I hate the Eagles. I hate everything about them. I hate their fans. I love your wife, but I hate the Eagle fans. I think this is where Devin Lloyd goes. So I had it flipped a little bit. I think they definitely have a need at linebacker. I think they kind of got exposed, especially in coverage, against the Bucs in the playoffs. So, watching them against the Giants, it's just linebackers tackling. They had a lot of problems there. So I think Lloyd is where they go. I could see them going receiver late, like Greenwood said, and maybe using the 16th pick to get Lloyd, or a cornerback like McDuffie, if he's still there, who I think he's the number two on the board. Kenyon Green, Kylo Gordon, I mean, is another guy, but I think they go Lloyd at this pick.
Lloyd's been taken.
Okay, so
Lloyd was taken
on. So Lloyd was picked by the Chargers, so do you have somebody else that could potentially go there to the Eagles?
No, I said Lloyd. That's what I have. I don't care what you have.
Oh, wow. And so. Okay, cool.
It's my job.
Okay, all right. So Villain is not zigging when people zag. Got it. So he thinks Lloyd goes there to the Eagles. Okay. Greenwood, if you were to pick here at this pick, knowing that Lloyd is already off the board, where would you go?
So there's two players there's actually three players at the top of my list. George Karloftis, the defensive end for Purdue. Mm-hmm. I could see a lot of potential there for it to be the pick. I've seen mocks where he goes as high as the top 10 over like a Jermaine Johnson, but there's also Drake London from the wide receiver from USC who's available still. I haven't seen any mocks having him fall past 15, and Garrett Wilson, the wide receiver from Ohio State, that's also still available,
who I don't
think I've seen fall this far either. So. With that said, I think I'm going to go with Drake London. I think that the Eagles would like him more as a compliment to Devonta Smith. So that's what the pick is going to be here.
Okay. I don't like either pick, to be honest with you. But, Greenwood, thank you for being a real draft guy, you know what I'm saying? I have no idea what my co-host is doing over there, you know, taking the player who was drafted before him. I swear, man.
He wasn't drafted on my board. He wasn't drafted on my board.
So you
got to
zig when people zag, man. You got to zig. With that being said, the New Orleans Saints are on the clock here at 20. Greenwood, talk to me about what the Saints do right here at 19, man. There's a lot of different options for them, but talk to me about what the Saints do.
So they picked Chris Olave at 16, so wide receiver's probably out for them. Quarterback is a major need, but there's not one that that's really worth the pick. And there's going to be plenty available in round two that are probably all going to fall down to the Saints in the round two. So I think I'm going to go with Charles Cross here, the offensive tackle. They're going to have to rebuild the offensive line, and really, even if they don't get a quarterback here, if they suck enough, they will eventually find themselves at the top of a better quarterback class next year. So I'm going to go with Charles Cross here to solidify that offensive line.
I don't hate the pick. I mean, I'm looking at one of the several mocks now, and, you know, Cross, in this particular one, is projected to go sixth overall to the Carolina Panthers. So the fact that he slid all the way down to 19, it's spectacular. Villain, talk to me about the pick 19. Cross finally came off the board. We've been pump faking this for a while, and he finally came off the board at 19 to the Saints. Talking about it.
I already had him off my board. So, I don't know what you guys are doing. You're not paying attention to the villain.
No, I'm kidding. Listen, if the two big tackles go before the Giants will take Cross. But if the Giants don't take Cross, this is probably where he goes. Right in this range to the Saints or to the Chargers. So I had the tackles. I had the Giants getting one of the big tackles, and then I have Penning going to the Saints. But I think Cross is a great pick, and you know, I think he checks off a lot of boxes for the Saints. They have a really big need at tackle. I think they lost the big guy. They lost Armstead, right? So I almost had his name in my. I just couldn't get it out. So I think they do have to replace him. You know, I think the problem why Cross doesn't go ahead of Neal and Okwunu is his technique. He struggles when he gets in trouble. He abandons technique. So you know, in locking on the defender. But I think that can kind of be corrected. I think he is a big body. He has a lot of good talent. I think this is a good spot in this 16 to 20 range. I think that's a good area for him to get drafted.
Okay. So the Steelers are on the clock at 20. I'm not going to even pump fake and try to be funny with this. But there is two glaring needs that my squad has, and I've been very, very upfront and honest with everybody about it. And with the 20th pick in the 2022 NFL draft, the Pittsburgh Steelers select Devontae Wyatt, defensive tackle out of Georgia. For me, gentlemen, y'all saw my Facebook post. I've been very, very upfront and honest about wanting to get better on our interior and our defense and offensive line. Ideally, I've gone back and forth whether I want Jordan Davis or Wyatt, and I landed on Wyatt because of the versatility that he brings. He can play nose. He can play any of the other two tight tackle spots. And I just think that with the situation at hand, Tyson Alualu coming back off the injury, we don't know the status of a Stephon Tua. Cam Hayward is box office and as good as advertised, but Lord forbid he gets himself nicked up or something like that. Devontae Wyatt is a guy who I honestly believe is going to be able to slide in and play a significant role in that rotation for us. So I got Devontae Wyatt being our first-round selection there at 20, coming off the board to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Greenwood, talk to me about Devontae Wyatt for the Steelers.
I like Devontae Wyatt a lot. he reminds me a lot of Fletcher Cox when he was coming out in the draft. He's a very similar style player. So I think that he'll be an end for your for a 3-4 scheme or in a 3-tech in a 4-3. I definitely don't hate the pick. If I were picking in this situation, I would have seriously considered Garrett Wilson at this pick, or I think tackle is also a major need for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and pick your flavor there. Raymond, Tyler Smith from Tulsa, or Trevor Penning from Northern Iowa, all would have been proper picks here as well.
Dylan, talk to me, man. Phyllis has let, you know, Wyatt there from Georgia to fill a significant need at the nose and the 3 technique on defense. Talk to me about how you feel about it.
Talk to me, man. Listen, I like this pick for the Steelers. I don't think this is who they pick. I think they get Willis, quarterback from Liberty. But if they don't go quarterback, you're just never sad. You're never happy. You don't like anything they do, really, to be honest with you. I mean, who are we fooling? Devontae Wyatt is a freaky athlete, right? He can play 1-2-3 technique, right? He wins with first step. He's got really good hands. I think his only weakness, I think, which he will get a lot of help from his guys there and TJ Watt and company, is really learning how to diversify his moves. He doesn't have a lot of moves in the inside, and he didn't need it because that defensive line was so good. He really was going one-on-one a lot of times. So I think he needs to win with multitude of moves, using his hands a little bit more instead of his first step. But he is strong. He wins with power, and he gets off the ball quick. So this is a good pick for them. I really think they'll go quarterback, but I think, and I was kind of, I have Devontae Wyatt slotted in the next pick, but I like this pick for the Steelers.
Okay. All right. So Devontae Wyatt comes off the board there at 20. Steelers were next up to pick number 21. Villain, talk to me about what the New England Patriots do there at 21.
I have Wyatt at this pick, but if he's off the board, I'm gonna go with a reach. I'm gonna say that they go edge rusher in George Kalafis. Kalafis, whatever, I can't say it, but you know what I'm talking about. Carl Laffitt, whatever. I'll keep butchering it all day. I don't know. I think they need edge rushers, and I think he kind of checks a lot of boxes for them. I think he's a pro style, a college level Ryan Kerrigan. You know, he's athletic, he's powerful. He has a really good. I think you look at him and you just saw him. You said he's a defensive end. Like, he has that body, he has that build to him. I think he needs to be a little bit stronger in his bull rush. I think he relies on his talent and not on skills. Like, I think, you know, it's kind of hard. Like, he does well against college kids because he's better than most of them. I think at the NFL, you don't get away with that. You have to be smart. You have to be crafty. You have to get off of blocks and get there in less than 3 seconds. So I think that's what he needs to learn. But I think he's a reach, but I can see it.
I mean, I'm not mad at it. I mean, I had him coming off the board significantly later, actually just a pick later to the Arizona Cardinals at 23.
I thought 2% of the Arizona Cardinals was 23, but the fact that he went, you know, right there at 21 to the Patriots doesn't come as a shock to me, especially knowing the pedigree of New England Patriots. Greenwood, George from Purdue, edge rusher, came off the board at 21. Dillon said it was a reach, but in all actuality, I don't think it really is. Talk to me about it.
I agree with you, Sirius. I don't think that George Karloff is, from Purdue coming off at 21 is a particular reach at all. Especially, like, I definitely consider him one of the second-level defensive ends in this draft. He's not on the same level as, like, a Jermaine Johnson or a Aiden Hutchinson or Trevon Walker or what have you. But he's definitely solidly in that second tier with I'm not even going to attempt the young man from Penn State or even a Nick Bonito from Oklahoma, mm-hmm. who I'm a bit higher on than most people are. So I think Karloff is here, is good because the New England Patriots just don't pick wide receivers at
right.
And in the first round, I don't know why. It's probably because every time they have sucked. But that is
right.
What it is.
All right, so we're going to press on. The Green Bay Packers are there at 22. Greenwood, talk to me about what the Green Bay Packers do there at 22.
If the Green Bay Packers do not select Garrett Wilson at this pick, Aaron Rodgers is going to just bury himself in a hole and never leave. So Garrett Wilson is the pick.
Yeah.
And I would be so upset if this happens. Like, this should not happen. Garrett Wilson should not fall all the way to 22 and definitely not to the Green Bay Packers. As a former Lions fan and a fan of no team right now,
mm-hmm.
It would just pain my soul because even though I don't like any individual team, I hate the Green Bay Packers. So somebody has some.
Yeah.
Please, Pittsburgh, you don't need Devontae Wyatt. You need Garrett Wilson. All right, that's what you need.
Nah.
Thanks.
I need.
You just lost Juju. You need another wide receiver.
We're getting wild. You know what? You see my Facebook post. You know what I'm doing in the second round. You know what we're doing in the second round. You're going to see my Facebook post today. I'm going to get my guy from Penn State, Jahan Dotson. That's what I want in the second round. To replace Juju. I digress. So honestly, gentlemen, the 23rd pick is the Arizona Cardinals. We can go a plethora of different ways with the Arizona Cardinals, but for me, it comes down to a couple of things. And I think that the guy they end up landing on is Treylon Burks, the wide receiver from Arkansas. I think, you know, with the departure of Christian Kirk and the plethora and the question marks surrounding Kyler Murray, you want to surround him potentially with more weapons and more offense. And this guy out of Arkansas is a guy who is a perimeter guy. He's a jump, go get it type of guy out of Arkansas. I think that you pair him with DeAndre Hopkins. You had Rondale Moore last year. You bring back James Conner on your running back position, and your Cliff Kingsbury. You set yourself up to, you know, be formidable once again. In the NFC. So Treylon Burks, in my opinion, is going to be the pick here. To me, Greenwood, about Treylon Burks to the Arizona Cardinals.
Not where I would have went. I understand the pick, but I think that they have plenty of decent wide receivers already on that team, and I think they're just going to reload. And honestly, Christian Kirk wasn't even the second best wide receiver on that football team. Honestly, in my opinion,
Rondale Moore.
So I would. What's that?
Rondale Moore was the second best receiver.
I would say so. Yeah.
Okay.
So Tyler Lindenbaum would have been a pick for me. I think that Zion Johnson would have been a pick for me just to solidify the offense, that interior offensive line that was really bad this past offseason. And value would have also been there as well. Andrew Booth could have been the cornerback from Clemson is definitely a thought there at 23 as well. That's probably where I would have thought probably Tyler Lindenbaum would have been my guy at center at 23.
I don't hate the pick, to be honest with you. I mean, he's a guy who I've actually keeping my eye on as a Steelers fan. You know, saying I love offensive line versatility. If you listen to Tomlin, he also is a fan of offensive line versatility. And right now we have four guys that can play center. You know, he can also kick it out and play guard as well. We all know that those big athletes up front go down all the time, and we need to be able to roll the next person out there. So I don't hate the pick. Villain, talk to me about Burks going to the Arizona Cardinals, and what would you have done there?
Yeah, I had Burks going to the Packers, so I've had him going a pick ahead. Not mm-hmm. a terrible pick. I had the Cardinals going defense at this pick with a reach, a really big reach. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to say the name because you guys will just yell at me. I'll say it, David Ojabo. I had him go with David Ojabo
yep.
from Michigan. Even though he tore
wow.
his Achilles, I think he is a reach, but I think he is a pretty good player. They do need help on the defensive line, so that's where I had them kind of going. But listen, I think Treylon Burks, this is a good spot for him to go right in this range in the draft. There's so many good receivers mm-hmm. in the draft, and Dotson will not drop to the Steelers in the second round. Book it.
I'm going to stop that immediately, sir. I'm going to stop that immediately. That's all I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? And because I hate you so much, you know what I'm saying, the Dallas Cowboys are on the clock. Villain, talk to me about the Cowboys at 24.
At first I had the Iowa center, Lindenbaum, going here. I changed my mind. I went Zion Johnson, Boston College lineman. I think he checks the boxes. I think they definitely help on the offensive line. I don't see them not picking offensive line. I think they could use a little bit more defense, but they got to protect Dak. I think the offensive linemen are getting a little older. They do have Smith coming back, and Martin, but I think they do need a little bit more help. Zion Johnson checks a lot of boxes. This is where I think he goes.
Yeah, I actually, as much as I want to harass you for picking a smart pick for the Dallas Cowboys, I think this is where he lands, honestly, for me. If any of these offensive linemen, I'm just saying this a lot, this draft, especially the first round, I can see a lot of offensive line and defensive linemen come off the board. And I think Zion Johnson is a guy who can go, you know, significantly early, but if the draft falls the way it's projected to fall, I could definitely Dallas Cowboys. Greenwood, talk to me, man. The Dallas Cowboys just picked up Boston College offensive guard Zion Johnson. Decent pick, or do you feel that they would do something different here?
Yeah, I think that's a perfectly fine pick. I personally would have went Lindenbaum from Iowa, but it's 6-1, half dozen the other, honestly. They have a major need at interior offensive line. They have always prioritized offense over defense, so I don't think they really go linebacker or defensive line here, especially with how the board fell for them. I don't see anything of value there as with Karloftis off the board, which could have been the pick there. And honestly, in my opinion, I think Devin Lloyd actually falls to the Dallas Cowboys pick here at 24 in my own personal mock draft.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
But no, as the board falls, Zion Johnson is a perfectly fine pick.
All right, well, with that being said, pick number 25 comes to the Buffalo Bills. Greenwood, talk to me about what the Buffalo Bills do at 25.
Buffalo Bills, the board was not kind to them. I imagine if the board fell the way it did, that the Buffalo Bills would try to trade up with somebody to try to get Garrett Wilson. But it doesn't turn out that way. So with the 25th pick of the 2022 NFL draft, the Buffalo Bills do a little bit of a reach and select Sky Moore, wide receiver from Western Michigan.
Okay, so you got them going receiver here. Huh, all right. Dylan, Sky Moore just came off the board to the Bills. I can kind of see how Greenwood brain works that, but what say you, sir? I'm not sure I would have went wide receiver here, but what say you about Sky Moore to the Bills?
I don't see it. I can understand why he would think they would go receiver. I think if they don't get the corner that they want, I think they trade out of this pick, to be honest with you. But if they keep this pick, I have Kyler Gordon going. But I can see why Greenwood says they would go receiver. It's such a deep class. I don't think it's a wasted pick. I think the priority is coverage, especially within this conference with the receivers that are and in their division, right? They have, you know, they have Hill now that they got to face twice a year. The Jets probably will get a good receiver. You know, and obviously there's just receivers galore in this conference, especially when you get deeper in the playoffs. I think if they don't get McDuffie or Gordon, mm-hmm. If they don't get McDuffie, they'll go Gordon. If they don't get either of those guys, they'll trade back.
Okay. All right.
And Andrew Booth was still available, so that probably should have been the pick. But I already made my pick, so.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
The Tennessee Titans are on the clock at 26. I think for the Tennessee Titans, there's a lot of question marks surrounding both their offensive and defensive line. This is a team that really got beat in the trenches. And I think that, again, with the draft being as deep as it is in the interior, I think this is the pick they go. So with the 26th pick in 2022 NFL draft, the Tennessee Titans select Kenyon Green, offensive guard from the University of Texas A&M. I think this is a slam dunk pick for the Tennessee Titans for a couple of reasons. I think, honestly, it checks a much-needed box in interior offensive line. It makes things very, very easy. It should make things very, very easy for Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry to you know, get time to throw the football, and Derrick Henry to not make contact as soon as he touches the football. So I think any offensive lineman that is available can be a candidate here. I went with Kenyon Green because I think he fits, but let's not forget that Trevor Penning is still available at Iowa. He wasn't picked in the Sports City Chef's mock draft, and I can really see him just coming here as well. So I'm keep the pick as Kenyon Green, but if Penning is available, case could be made that this is where he goes. Green, talk to me about Kenyon Green going to the Tennessee Titans at 26.
Another great pick at guard. I think there's going to be quite a run at interior offensive line because that seems to be the biggest need for a lot of teams in the back half of the draft. They could always look to reload at the edge rush position if one happens to be available, but there's not really. I mean, we could see the young man. I'm going to re-mention the young man from Penn State, Arnold Sirius, help me out with the last name of that young man. but at the end of the day, it's a very good pick in my opinion, and especially with all the wide receivers gone, I definitely see where you went with it.
Talking about Arnold Obidike.
Yeah, there we go. Yep, yeah. That guy.
That guy. All right. Villain, talk to me about Kenyon Green at 26 to the Tennessee Titans. Agree with the pick there, or would you have done something different?
Well, I love that pick. I think that's exactly where they need to go. They need help all over that offensive line. They really need help at quarterback, if you ask my honest opinion, but there's no help in this draft. At 26, I think there's a lot of good value still left at this pick. I think Rearman from Central Michigan is a nice pickup. But I think Kenyon Green, I think he will be there. I think he's a good pick for them and to start shoring up that line.
All right, Villain. Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 27. Talk to me about what Thomas Brady and, you know, the new Buccaneers organization does at 27.
Yeah, they need a corner. They need cornerback help desperately, right? I think their secondary was decimated last year with injury, and it got exposed, especially in the playoff game against the Rams. Offensive line might be an area of need, but they picked up Shaq Mason in the offseason. So I'm going cornerback. Mm-hmm. I have Trent McDuffie dropping here. For whatever reason, I just feel McDuffie's going to drop. But if he doesn't drop, which I really don't think he will, I think Booth is probably the kid that they'll pick up. But they definitely, if they don't go corner at this pick, I think everybody needs to get fired.
So what was your pick?
I have
Andrew Booth.
But I think Booth is the guy that'll drop to them. I think McDuffie will go before this.
Okay. All right. So you're talking about Bouye Mathieu, or who are you talking about? I'm sorry, I didn't hear it.
Andrew Booth.
No.
From
Booth.
Clemson.
Oh, they got some cornerback. Okay. I got you. Yeah, I got you. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know what I'm hearing. Okay. Greenwood, talk to me about the pick from Villain, you know, for the cornerback from Clemson.
Andrew Booth is, honestly, this is another guy who's dropping not because of talent, but because of injury. I actually really like the kid. So it's a fantastic pick for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at this point.
Okay, cool. Not a bad pick up there. So we are going to pick number 28. You know, Greenwood got the Packers last time, so I'll take them this time just to save them the embarrassment. But Green Bay Packers have a lot of needs on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball. With them picking up a receiver in the early part of the draft, I don't see them going receiver here. I do, however, see them shoring up their defense. And I think they're going to make a leap and go Daxon Hill, the safety from Michigan. I think that Daxon Hill is – actually, hold on a second. I think he was already drafted. He was already drafted by somebody
else.
The
Houston at 13.
They were drafted by Houston at 13. So let me go back to my board here and go Quay Walker, linebacker from Georgia. I think Quay Walker, he may have been drafted already, too.
No, Quay Walker has not been drafted yet.
Okay, well, I was going to make sure. Yeah, Quay Walker. Yeah, who did the Lions pick the second pick? Who did the Lions go?
They put Trevon Walker, not Quay Walker.
Okay, yeah, there's a lot of Walkers. Okay.
They're both Georgia Walkers, too, which makes it even harder.
I think the Packers go there, getting Quay Walker from the University of Georgia. I think that they solidify a significant need at the linebacker core. He's a guy who can
go sideline to sideline, make tackles, and really help them out a little bit. You know, Villain, talk to me about Quay Walker to Green Bay at 28.
They definitely need a linebacker. I'm not mad at that pick. I just don't think that's the linebacker out of Georgia they go with. I think Dean is better. I think he's the Buckus Award winner. He's a smart, speedy linebacker. I think he checks off a lot of boxes for the Packers that they definitely need. You know, they could go edge, I think. But because they lost Za'Darius Smith, and Burks, I think they have to replace him. But I think Dean is the right pick. I think that's the kid that they go after. I think, you know, he just has to get off of blocks. I think that's his only weakness.
Right.
And, you know, when you got those linemen at Georgia, you didn't have to get off a lot of blocks. He was able to run free and go sideline to sideline because he was reading plays and had nobody on top of him. So that's an adjustment he's going to have to make. But I think Dean is the good pick for the Packers.
Very well done. Very well said. Greenwood, pick number 29 and 30, ironically, are looking at the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going to let you pick both of those. Give me pick number 29, talk about it, and then go ahead and do pick number 30, and we'll knock both of these out in one swoop.
All right, so biggest needs I can see for the Kansas City Chiefs is wide receiver after Tyreek Hill leaving, and cornerback, which has always been an issue, especially in this division that is the best division top to bottom in, at the quarterback position in the NFL by far. And I could also see defensive line also being an issue, but I don't think that there's a player there available to them. So with the 29th pick, I'm going to take George Pickens. George Pickens, wide receiver from Georgia. Speedy, very athletic wide receiver, perfect replacement for Tyreek Hill. And with the 30th overall pick, they're going to take Kair Elam, the cornerback from Florida.
Okay, all right. I'm questioning the second pick there. Interesting. That's a bit of reach. I don't even have him in my top if I'm going in the first round. That's interesting. Villain, talk to me about Pickens and Elam both going to Kansas City and back-to-back picks there.
Elam's is a reach. I've seen him in a couple mocks come up in the first round to the Chiefs. But I mean, I like Pickens, tall receiver. You know, he's got some quickness. He gets off on the line pretty well, very athletic. Not a run after the catch guy. So I don't know if he fits in that offense completely. That's my only problem. That's why I got your guy Dotson going at 29. And then I got Linderbaum falling and going to the Chiefs because I think the Chiefs do need offensive line help. So those are my guys. But I think I'm not hating the pick and pick. I just think they need a run after the catch guy. I think Dotson checks that box.
Yeah, Dotson definitely checks that box, which is why he's coming to Pittsburgh. Dylan, talk to me. Pick number 31 is the defending AFC champion, Cincinnati Bengals. Where do they go here? Villain?
I was talking the whole time. Sorry. Unbelievable. We're almost done. I got Daxton Hill
going here. I got him slipping really far. And because of the way everything kind of shook out, I thought the Texans would get him really higher. I think if he falls this low, I think the Bengals scoop him up. I like him. I think a reach is in the top 15. I think right here is a good fit for him, where I think he kind of falls. Good safety out of Michigan, kind of checks some boxes. I think the Bengals could use a little help in that secondary. They did get Justin Reed. They didn't get anybody really in the offseason of note that I can see other than Michael Thomas. So I think getting Hill at this pick is a good value pick for them.
Okay, so
Hill's already taken. You took
like
him at 13.
He was drafted.
I
he was
know
taken
that, but since
13,
you guys
didn't somebody else
take him,
you took him. That was your pick.
I know
you
it was
took him at 13.
So you're going to take him at 13 and at 31?
Yes.
Come on, villain. Okay.
Villain really likes Daxton Hill.
Sign him up. Sign him up.
I think Tyler Linderbaum is got to be the pick here. They've solidified the guard position. They've solidified the tackle position. There's only one position left in order to prevent Joe Burrow from being a completely destroyed human being. And that makes that offense incredibly deadly because they have the right pieces at every single position on that offense. So I think Linderbaum should be the pick here. Their defense actually didn't play all that bad either. So they are in position to try to make another run at this. I mean, the AFC is stacked from top to bottom, so there's no guarantees anywhere. But Linderbaum, I think if he falls all the way to 31, I think that is an easy pick for the Bengals, especially the board, how it fell with Zion Johnson and Kenyon Green off the boards at 24
right.
and
26. Right. All right, and rounding out the first round, man, I'll be remiss if I didn't give this last Detroit Lions pick to the former Detroit Lions fan. Greenwood, talk to me about what they do at 36.
So, like, I had this picked out in my head the entire draft. But N'Kobe Dean is still available at 32. So it really depends on if Detroit is really hard set on getting a quarterback this year. If they do, then Sam Howell will be the pick here at 32. Because they want that fifth year option in case he turns out to be okay.
Uh-huh.
But you know what?
So
that's the way we're going to go. And then they're going to pray that N'Kobe Dean falls to the 34th pick. So Sam Howell, quarterback from the,
North Carolina Tar Heels.
The North Carolina Tar Heels is going to be the 32nd pick.
All right. Well, we finished all 32 picks. I'm actually going to type this up and post this in a blog to kind of so we can kind of see how it all shakes out, man. Greenwood, man, give us a plug and a close out as we get out of here, man.
This was a lot of fun. Can't wait for draft day on Thursday. It's one of my favorite days of the year. And can't wait to see what happens. And I can't wait to see Villain's face when Daxton Hill falls from 13 in this mock all the way out of the first round.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Villain, man, give us a plug in the clubhouse as we get out of here, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Love doing the show with you guys. Greenwood, controversy, serious. A lot of fun. I have my notebook going. Daxton, Daxton's my guy. I'm gonna go get a jersey for him. I'm gonna wear it.
Daxon Hill for president. Listen, it's a lot of fun. Enjoy the draft. If you watch with your family, your friends, or what have you. And check out our sponsors, PHI Apparel. Thanks, guys.
You know, guys, it's been a lot of fun doing this show with everybody, man. I'm just a guy living a dream, man. I'm very thankful for the opportunity to host these shows, and we'll be back at it again in the fall with the NFL show. But, you know, starting next week, the baseball show does take over on the Tuesday night slot. So, Greenwood, man, has been fun talking football with you on a regular basis. Villain, it's been a pleasure to all those who came on, Timeless, Mr. Harvey, everybody who rocked with us, man. It's been fun. And Lord willing, we'll catch up with you guys when we kick this thing off in August, dealing with training camp, man. I did want to say this, man. I do believe that we are going to be doing a live show on Thursday, hosted by the one and only Mr. Harvey. Just kind of doing what we did here, just kind of recapping the draft. So if you definitely want to get yourself there and kind of watch the draft with us, I'll be in the show late. You know, I got a prior engagement. But football, man, there's nothing like it, man. With that being said, as T.P. Thomas would say, man, tell a friend to tell a friend it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Sports City, Sports City. Chefs, chefs. Sports City, Sports City. Chefs, chefs. Sports City, Sports City. Chefs, chefs. Sports City, Sports City. Chefs. Kaboom. Sports City chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune. Blown like a flower in June. Superman versus MF Doom. The clouds loom. So tell a friend it's the Sports City chefs again. Pay attention. Tune in. We on the set again. Sports City, Sports City, Chef, Chef, Sports City, Sports City, Chef, Chef. Yeah. Cabby. Taj.
Woo! Connecticut.